Coming to you again for Manna in the Morning, this is Keith Kaiser, preaching once more from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, the Upper Room Ministry of Christ. We saw in verse 1 how the Lord Jesus' teaching that's to come to his disciples is predicated by statements of his perfect foreknowledge and of his unsurpassed love. The one who teaches his disciples does so knowing exactly what they need for the future, and does so out of perfect love for them. Verse 2 reads of John chapter 13, "And supper being in progress, the devil having now put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself." Now, verse 2 tells us that while this supper was going on, the enemy was right there in the room with the Lord Jesus. Already the devil was scheming and trying to figure out a way to get rid of the Lord Jesus, to thwart him, to keep him from doing what he had come to earth to do. He thought that by having the Lord Jesus die a death of shame on the cross, by having him humiliated and repudiated by humankind, but this would certainly be enough to make it so that no one would ever worship the Lord Jesus again. After all, to the Jews, one who was hanged upon a tree, according to their law in Deuteronomy 21:23, was under a curse. It says, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." So a Jew would not worship one who was under a curse. But then to the Romans and to the Greeks, of course, the idea of crucifixion was equally abhorrent to them. The Romans thought that crucifixion signified that one was not worthy to be received by heaven, nor worthy to be received by earth, and so was hung up in the midst of heaven and earth. The Greeks, according to 1 Corinthians, thought of crucifixion as foolishness. And so there was nothing about the cross of Christ that gave any indication that it would be the key to the worship of the Lord Jesus. Of course, having read the rest of the story, the rest of the Bible, we know that the cross was the very root of the Lord Jesus' victory, that it was where the Lord Jesus bore sin as the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world, that it was where he suffered judgment in the place of those who receive him, that it was where he became a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world, says 1 John chapter 2. And so the Lord Jesus was going to go to the cross, but the devil was in the shadows skulking about, putting evil thoughts into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray the Lord Jesus. Now let's be clear about this. The Lord Jesus will soon indicate in this chapter that Judas Iscariot was not a real believer. He was actually a pretender, one who looked like a Christian, but one who was faking it. And I'm sad to say, dear listener, that that kind of person has not died out of our world. They're all too common, especially in the decadent West, where people have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, where people will profess to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's really no reality to their profession, nothing to their claims of following the Lord. They'll say, "Yes, yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I've believed. Yes, I've been born again." They'll speak of their baptism and their church membership or church attendance. But when you look at the fruit, there's no evidence of a change. Dear listener, let me tell you that the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If anyone be in Christ, there's a new creation." Or as the older King James translation puts it, "If any man be in Christ, there is a new creature." A person who is in Christ has been changed. They become part of the new creation. They speak differently. They think differently. They live differently. No, they're not sinless, but they do sin less. That is, as the Spirit of God begins to work in their lives and to sanctify them, they begin to take on the characteristics of the Lord Jesus and to live more like him and exhibit the fruit of the Spirit that Galatians chapter 5 speaks about.